If you would please rise for the reading of the word if you haven't already. We're reading out of Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. He had gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Gracious Father, we ask that your Spirit would dwell in the midst of your people today as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Of course, this is one of the most famous children's story in all of Scripture. We all know the song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee... They're like, please don't sing. "Wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree to see what he could see." I don't know the rest. When Tish and I were young in church ministry, we were at a church that was in a really rough neighborhood. And it was so funny because I kept getting these phone calls, and they would call and they would begin to talk and they would hang up. And if they would call and my secretary answered, they would refuse to talk to her. They had to talk to me. And we were a little bit on edge because the church had received some threats and it was just a really rough area to be. And one day I was in my office and that number showed up on my caller ID. And I answered the phone, and I would love to say I was very pastoral. I wasn't super pastoral. I'm like, "What do you want?" I did actually answer the phone once that way this week also. The phone rang and it said, "Castaneda." So I knew Selena was calling. So I picked up the phone and I'm like, "CV first, what?" And it was Mrs. Castaneda. And she just cracked up. Thank you for having grace. Sorry, Selena, you missed the fun. But anyway, so then this man on the phone said to me, I think his name was Joshua, and he said, "My name is so-and-so," I'm pretty sure it was Joshua, and he said, "I do a one-man show about Zacchaeus." And immediately, in my mind, I'm like, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man. Oh, hi, how are you?" And he begins to tell, and he goes, "Well, I travel with my wife, Mary, and we're little people." And they did. They came all the way from Florida and performed. And it was just this wonderful experience. And it was a really neat thing to see. So Zacchaeus is just so well known in the Bible. And there's so much of the gospel message in this passage, right? And why do we exist if not to teach the gospel? If we could only tell one story, we could literally teach everyone about Zacchaeus. Because, of course, we know that He was someone who was not well liked. People stayed away from Zacchaeus. We stay away from people who have IRS after the end of their names, right? No one loves the IRS. And Zacchaeus was the IRS of the first century. So we have Jesus and he's in Jericho. And here's this crowd of people. And last week he was dealing with the blind man, the man who could see though he had no vision. And now we have Zacchaeus. And gosh, poor Zacchaeus. He entered Jericho and he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Oh, we all like to be around rich people. We just don't necessarily like to be around tax collectors. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he couldn't because he was small in stature. So we begin to look at Zacchaeus. He was a Jew, because we know later it says he's part of the family of Abraham. He was a tax collector, not just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, right? He was up in the ranks. He was rich, literally because he would say to people, I'm taxing you this amount. And Rome would say, we require this. And the tax collector would add on to that whatever he wanted. And if you displeased him or upset him, he could add it and add it and add it until he owned everything you owned and you were in prison because you couldn't afford to pay the taxes. Zacchaeus was a sinner that needed to be saved. And that's important because we all find ourselves in that place where we are sinners that need to be saved. Matthew 11:19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And it says in Matthew, yet wisdom is justified by her needs. Well, all these things are true. We know that this is exactly why Jesus is here, right? He is here for the sinners. He is here for the Zacchaeuses. He is here for those people who are lost. The tax collectors and those who are hopeless without him. And by the way, who is hopeless without Jesus? Everyone. This side is responding. This side, you have to step up your game. It's kind of loud. I guess I could stand like this. The blind man was seeking for Jesus. He's sitting by the side of the road. He can't go anywhere. And it's so trusting. You see in other versions outside of Luke where it says he jumped up with excitement and he got in Jesus' way, dropping his cloak. Well, blind men didn't drop their cloaks because, you know, if they drop something in a place that's unfamiliar, they're never going to find it. But so trusting was this person that Jesus would restore his sight, he just threw it off and he jumped up and got in Jesus' way. And here we have Zacchaeus, and he's doing the same thing. He had heard, like the blind man, of this guy who's going around causing trouble. And remember with Zacchaeus, he's a sinner. So the religious elite want nothing to do with him, except for one. What do they want from Zacchaeus? Take a stab. They want his money. He's rich, right? Pastors love rich members. No, just kidding. That's exactly what they would have wanted, but they don't want to be around him. In fact, he wouldn't probably have been allowed on the inner courts of the temple. He was unclean. He was a sinner. They don't want any part of him. They're like, no, Because literally they believed, if you're near me, you will rub off your unrighteousness. And remember, we looked at Luke and we had this guy who was a tax collector. He's a sinner. He's unworthy. And we have the Pharisee, and he walks in and he's raising his hands. He's like, oh, God, you know, thank you for making me. And we see this other guy, Lord, just have mercy on me. And Jesus said, oh, yeah. See, God has mercy on him. God doesn't have mercy on the people who arrogantly approach the throne. See, the difference is he wants us to boldly approach the throne. Once we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we can boldly approach the throne, but we are never to arrogantly approach it, because we never approach the throne of the Almighty under our own power and under our own strength, but only through the righteousness that has been imparted to us through Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus is a resident of Jericho. He's heard the excitement. Jesus is coming. I want to see, just like the blind man, I want to see what he does. I want to hear what he says. I want to know Jesus. But he's only this tall. And so he climbs up in a sycamore tree. I love. My kids asked me, what is your favorite tree? And I said, I love sycamore trees and I love the European beech tree. And so they look up in the Google and they're like, oh yeah, Dad's got to love the two largest trees on the planet. And that, yeah, it's true. We had a sycamore tree in our backyard in Cincinnati. I just loved that tree. And then they said, Dad, what is your favorite flower? And I'm like, are you planning my funeral? And they said, no, we're going to all get matching tattoos. I'm like, yes. I've trained them well. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in verse 4 to see him, for Jesus was about to pass by. And the Bible tells us that he's short in stature, and sycamore trees are very large trees. If he can get up in them, he would have the stadium view, right? And you know this argument that goes on in the cities where they'll have these tall apartment buildings. They don't even have to buy tickets. If they have the right apartment, they can just watch the game. He's just going to watch Jesus walk by. He just wants a glimpse. He wants to know, according to the word, who he is. He's got to know. Now, that was one reason he climbed it. The second reason he climbed it, of course, was there was a tree to climb. Right? We ask, well, you know, why did he climb it? Well, he wanted to see Jesus. He climbed it also because he was short in stature, and he climbed it because there was a tree there he could climb. He could have maybe climbed up on a house somewhere else, or he could have climbed a ladder somewhere. But Jericho is an oasis, and there were sycamore trees there that he could climb. Seeking is what he was doing. Seeking as a fundamental part of the Christian faith. Remember last week, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. It's when you really want to find Jesus, he is waiting to be found. He wants to be found. You know, it's not like the agnostics who say, well, you know, God created the world and maybe he created people and maybe everything happened that way and then he just spun it out there and he's watching to see what happens. That's not a descriptive of our God. Do you know that God knows how you slept last night? He not only knows how you slept, he cares how you slept. He knows what you had for breakfast, or if you skipped breakfast. He knows if you do intermittent fasting. He knows if you're speeding. He knows if you're naughty or nice. Like, God's got this. He is engaged in every single intimate detail of your life. Not because he's a nosy God, but because he loves you. and because he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing. That is who our God is. And what is so great in our lives that he is not in control? This is what Zacchaeus wants to know. Once we're saved, we seek Jesus, we find Jesus, we accept Jesus, but we never stop seeking. Right? Seeking is this fundamental part of us. We want to seek a deeper relationship with Jesus. We want a deeper knowledge of the Word. We want deeper communion with the saints. With each other, our relationships are to be growing stronger and deeper. And even more, the Bible says, as the day draws near, we're supposed to encourage one another to good work. Seeking the Lord never stops. Salvation isn't the destination. To be more like Jesus is a journey that we are all on and that we're supposed to walk together on the road with and encourage and exhort and build each other up. Romans 12:2 says, say it. That we might discern what the will of God is. Do not be conformed to the world, but allow God to transform your minds as you grow closer, searching and seeking. Zacchaeus was searching, but actually he wasn't even sure what he was searching for or who he was searching for. What he did know is that the people of his country, even the religious elite, the people in the temple, that were supposed to guide people toward God, counted him as a lost cause. They didn't want anything to do with him. He's a sinner. He's a traitor. He's a collaborator with Rome. At the very best, he's a sinner. And he might rub off on us. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. This is an appointment made by God himself. He said, hey, Zacchaeus, I have a place to stay tonight. It's at your house. You need to get down. I'm getting kind of tired. I'm a little, it's a long day, like, healed a blind guy, now walking through Jericho. It's a long walk. I must stay at your house. Come down out of the tree. Jesus saw more. Zacchaeus could not have imagined that of all the people that swarmed around Jesus, that Jesus would have chosen him. But Jesus didn't see him as a collaborator with Rome, as a traitor. Jesus didn't see him as just a sinner. Jesus saw him as someone who is saved by grace. Jesus saw more. Yes, he saw all the darkness over here. And Jesus said, but you know what? I have the answer for that. Just like he has the answer for that in our lives. And as much as we may hate to think it, it's the same answer for everyone on the planet, even the people you dislike the most. Jesus is my answer. He was Zacchaeus' answer. He's your answer, and he's their answer as well. And he's charged us with telling them. And you're like, yeah, I really don't know if I want Aunt Susie to go to heaven. Aunt Susie needs an invitation to Thanksgiving dinner next year. Just as God had called Israel in Isaiah 43:1, But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you. O Jacob, He who formed you. O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Where are you? See, he knows where Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus is hanging out in the tree. Blind man's hanging out on the edge of the road. He knows where they are, and he calls them by name. Remember in the garden, Adam and Eve has sinned. God goes strolling through the garden, and he says, yo, Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was because he's omnipresent and he's omniscient. So he knows exactly the physical place where Adam is. He's saying, Adam, spiritually, where are you? And Adam said, we sinned, and so we hid from you. Right? It's not until David comes along and says, well, that doesn't work. And then he says to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, I see where you are. I know where you are. Zacchaeus, come here. Just the same call that he puts on every single person who knows him as Savior and Lord. But even once you know him, he asks that question all the time. Where are you? Right? It's part of that seeking. It's part of that journey. Where are you? Are you walking the walk? Are you fighting the fight? Are you taking the journey? Are you walking next to people? Are you building them up and exhorting them on the path as they walk the journey with you? Where are you? Can you imagine the surprise on his face? He's sitting up in the tree. He's used to being scorned and ignored, probably mistreated. And now he's sitting up in the branches, and Jesus comes by and he looks up and says, Zacchaeus, I'm here at this moment in history for you. Come down out of the tree. Zacchaeus must have been like, did he really mention my name? Is it really me he wants? Right? You see the people on the prices, right? They run down the aisle and they're like, oh, he called my name. He called my name. Even greater is the moment when Jesus calls your name. And he calls it constantly, even after we're saved. He knew his name. In fact, he knew it so well, he knew it before the foundations of the world. He gave Zacchaeus his name. So today, if you're thinking, I really hate my name, before the foundations of the world, Jesus is walking under the tree, right? No one said, hey, look at Zacchaeus up in the tree. It says Jesus is walking by. He's like, hey, Zacchaeus, would you come down here? We don't know that he's ever met Zacchaeus before. It doesn't matter. Jesus knows your name. And he calls it. We need to seek the Lord. And when we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him. And it's not a one-time event. It's a daily. It's an hourly. It's a moment-by-moment event. He will call us by name, and he has, before the foundations of the world were laid. Doesn't matter what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I can't see your hearts, know your thoughts. Some of you are thinking, why is he wearing brown shoes with a blue suit? I know how you are. All of these things are known to you and to God alone. But the Word tells us that we're all sinners. I've had people come into my office and say, Pastor, I was afraid of what you would think of me. I want you to know before you ever walk into my office, the Bible says that the apostle said, we are the scum of the earth, the dregs of society. We all start there. You can't get any lower. So at the worst, I think you're a scum of the earth and a dreg of society. At very best, I think you're the scum of the earth, a dreg of society who's been saved by grace. And we're all there. You might be the sweetest, loving, kindest person. I might call you friend. But spiritually, at our very worst, we're sinners. And at our very best, we're saved by grace. Zacchaeus responds. He climbs down the tree. And the Bible tells us he received Jesus joyfully. He was bringing Jesus home. He would welcome him and feed him, show him all of the hospitality he could muster, which was probably quite a bit. He probably had one of the larger homes in town. He probably had the finest pottery. He probably had the nicest elements in the city outside of the political leaders. He was a very, very wealthy man. He must have wondered, why me? You know, as he's walking Jesus, he must have been thinking, out of everywhere he could go, why me? And we do know, right? It says that he chose the sinners and the tax collectors. If Jesus chose you to go to your house, it wasn't necessarily a compliment. Right? When we're going through hotels, most of us do the same thing. What's the nicest place I can stay for the least amount of money? Right? That's how I buy hotel rooms. Boy, and if I can get an Airbnb for even less and it's better, I'll go that route. Like, best for less. That's what we want. Jesus isn't thinking about money. Jesus is thinking about Zacchaeus. And he's thinking about everyone around Zacchaeus, who says, certainly, I'm not the best person in the world, but I'm no Zacchaeus. I don't steal people's money. I don't defraud them. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a tax collector. I might not be the best, but I'm no Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, yeah, but see, I came for people like Zacchaeus. That's who I came here for. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Right? There's this huge crowd around him. And now he's going into his house. Well, why not my house? I mean, whatever. Come to my house. No, he chooses Zacchaeus, someone that these people rejected and didn't want anything to do with and didn't think he deserved salvation. Why does Jesus choose him over me? And the answer to that is because of that very question. I deserve it less, not more. Zacchaeus came there saying, I deserve nothing. I'm just happy to see him. I just want to know who he is. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Notice no one else is saying these things. This is Zacchaeus telling Jesus, hey, Jesus, this is what I've done. I'm not stealing from these people. And the people I have stolen from, I've restored it fourfold. I have fulfilled the requirements of the law. I'm not the best, but I'm no crook. Zacchaeus begins to justify himself. I'm glad you're here. It's actually okay for you to be here. I give half of what I have to the poor. He's talking about justice, right? All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have this word justice. And it's sad because in the last couple of years, it's been used well and it's been used poorly. And there's been arguments and fights and distortions of this word justice. And he says, but you know what? I'm very wealthy, but I give half of what I have to those who have less. And if I've defrauded someone, I've restored it to them. To me, he says, justice is important. In fact, Zacchaeus gives to the poor, which is stark contrast to what we saw in chapter 18 with the rich young ruler. When he says, hey, take what you have and sell it and give it to the poor, and then you will have eternal life. And he had to walk away. He said, I really want eternal life, but if I can't buy it, I'm not interested. And Jesus said, no, that's the whole thing. That's your wealth is more important to you than the kingdom of God. Keep your wealth. It's yours. What brought about the change? Zacchaeus was seeking. He probably knew the scriptures. He knew what he was doing wouldn't go unchallenged. So he's seeking to do what's right. You know, people live their lives thinking that at the end of this, they just cease to exist. At the end of this, there's nothing more. And the Bible tells us that at the end of this, there will be an accounting. Because at the end of this, there is eternity. And between us and eternity is the throne room. We have to give an account. There has to be an answer. It's great. It would be wonderful, right? The world says, oh, there's nothing out there. I just become one with the universe. I don't want to be one with the universe. Right? A lot of that is toxic sludge. Kind of there now. I want to be one with Jesus. Not that I would be, boy, that could be taken out of context. I'm not going to be one with God. I'm going to be in the presence of the Almighty. There's going to be an accounting. Zacchaeus knew this. Something has changed. In fact, Zacchaeus knew, hey, justice is important to God. And because justice is important to him, justice is important to me. Right? Micah 6:8. What does God require? But that we choose justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And we walk humbly with our God because we know our God is willing to walk with us. But I have no right to that. I have no expectation that God should walk with me, but just that He will. We should seek the Lord. And when we seek Him with our whole heart, we will find Him. He will call us by name. And He has, before the foundations of the world were laid. Imagine a God who's so mighty, you are not an afterthought. All of us have histories. All of us were children once. Some of those childhoods were wonderful experiences. For most, they weren't. Our parents messed us up. Just as we took great pride in messing our children up. Right? None of us are without error. Our children won't be without error. We as parents make mistakes. Our parents made mistakes. And on top of it, we're in a world that's full of people telling us we are somehow less than. And we come out on the other end as we grow into adults and we question everything about ourselves. And Jesus said, I called you before the foundations of the earth. I don't care about all of that. You are not enough. You will never be enough, but the good thing is Jesus is. And in all that we lack, Jesus is sufficient in every way for everything. But we have to respond. God calls us. We have to answer the call. Right? We all know how it is. You call the number. I have literally blocked my children's phones. Like, shut them off. You know why? Because when I called, they wouldn't answer the call. But I pay for the phone. You have to answer the call. I'm paying for the phone. They're like, I like to text. Look how fat my thumbs are. I don't text. I call. They're like, okay. AT&T, how do I? And literally would shut their phone off. They're like, Dad, you shut my phone off. Answer when I call. You have to answer when he calls. Or he'll shut your phone off. And when you find him, you cannot remain unchanged. It's like diving into a pool, right? You meet Jesus, you are different. That's all there is to it. It's not the same. It's a seed that is planted in the soil. Something is going to happen to that seed. It depends a lot on the soil, but that seed is never going to be the same. It may be trampled. It may be eaten by vermin. It may sprout and die. It may grow into a fruitful plant, but that seed will never be the same. When you meet Jesus, everything is new. Everything changes. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus acknowledged what has happened. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house. He was a Jew that loved God. He had faith. He acted on it. Jesus proclaims what has happened. Zacchaeus sought the Lord. He found the Lord walking through Jericho. Jesus called him by name and he responded to the call. And God changed him. He's no longer going to live the old life. He's not just taking and taking and taking for his own gain. He's not stealing from people. He's not defrauding people. Jesus has come for someone just like Zacchaeus. He said, "I didn't come for the righteous. The righteous don't need me. I came for the unrighteous." The righteous don't need a Savior. Zacchaeus did. I did. You did. This season we celebrate the coming of the Savior. And although he's come for the whole world, most aren't seeking him. They're eagerly anticipating Santa. But they're not seeking Jesus. Some will seek him, and when Jesus calls them, they don't respond. But for those who respond, for those who will, the Savior will come. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I'm going to your house." And he did. Forever his life was changed, as forever ours will be too. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that you are a God who loves us. A God who loved us before the foundations of the world. And though we sin, you weren't content with letting us die in those sins. So great was your perfect love that you sent your only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.